I like what Paul said. They had been in a storm for days. 14 days. They lightened the ship. They throwed everything. They had done everything that they could to make things better. But the wind kept blowing. And the waves kept rolling. And they just, they were in a place that they were afraid. But I like what Paul said in verse 22 of Acts 27. He said, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." That lets him know, Paul, you're not going to die here. I'm not done yet. "And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs," this is what we got on my heart, "be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And I've done something today that I made a phone call to Florida where I was supposed to be in revival last Sunday. And I kept calling them saying, "It's going to be a few more days. I called Brother Smith down there today, and I said, "Brother, I ain't coming." I'm just going to tell you, I ain't coming. And the reason I feel like telling you this here is with the way some things has rolled in the last day or two, and the way some things has happened, I've almost let it get the best of me. And I got down to pray today, this morning. And I got the feeling the Lord when I just said yesterday was a dry prayer time. And some days it just goes that way. I begged and pleaded and flipped and twisted and turned and didn't think I'd come up to anything. And what I preached last night, what little I preached, I thought I didn't go nowhere. I found that later exactly where it was going. But I got in to pray today. And I felt the angel of the Lord come in and stand beside me. And I felt like he spoke to me. Just what they said, that it shall be even as I said it would be. And I felt like coming in here tonight. I didn't know how everything was going to go, what Brother Mike Moore was going to say, what Brother Clifford Spence was going to say, and I had no idea that the pastor would get enough voice about him to stand in this pulpit and tell you what he's told you tonight. But I want to tell you, it's time to lift up your head. God is not finished. He said, "Paul, you're going to go and see Caesar. A little wave and wind, it's not going to be enough to take your life. It's not over yet. God is not done. God is not finished." Hey, I feel like telling you tonight, the Spirit of the Lord is sweeping through this place and He's giving confirmation. I called somebody today, a friend of mine. They said, "How's revival going?" I said, "Well, it's going great." But I said, last night, I hope y'all don't fall out with me here. Last night, on seemingly a little bit of an off night, Jason prayed and got the Holy Ghost last night. I thought, man. And we come in here tonight with the mully grubs, and we come in here all blue and say, "What I need is a night off." Well, if it'll make a difference for you tomorrow night, come on now, or the next night, then take a night off, but we're going to keep on going. Because I believe God. I'm telling you, there is one thing you're not going to take out of my heart. It's what God has spoken to us. And when the Lord has told us what He's going to bring to pass, don't settle in and get satisfied with anything less than what God has already spoken to your soul. I was listening to the radio this afternoon, and I'm not much on listening a lot of times, but the gospel station you got around here, it's not really all that bad. I mean, I like it. It's pretty good. Got some pretty good music on there. But come on this evening, and Max Licato had a little tidbit that he throwed in there, and I happened to like to read Max Licato. And so he come on there, and he was talking about being a lighthouse. And he came across one phrase. I couldn't tell you nothing else he said. Maybe I could tell you maybe a couple of things here. But one thing just stood out to me. And he said, the thing that you've got to do is love God more than you fear hell. Come on now. He said, if you'll do that, you can trust God all the way to the end. And he went on to say right after that, when you cannot trace God's hand, trust God's heart. I thought, man, oh man, I really do love him. I really do love him. Can you imagine with everything that's going on a boat? I mean, what a storm it's raging. For Paul to say, wait a minute, I'm going to take the pulpit. And the first words out of his mouth, well, the clouds are still rolling, and the wind is still blowing, and the boat is still rocking. And he says, be of good cheer. Put a smile on your face. God said, he's not going to let me die, but he's not going to let you die either. Every one of us are going to make it through this by the help and the grace of God. Well, I believe God. Brother Morrison just went on preached a little while. I really didn't want to get up here tonight. I'll tell you what I thought. Sitting back there, I thought, anybody can preach tonight. Anybody. And everybody. I mean, all I've done is got up here and got you quiet now. And I don't know. Maybe this is what we ought to do. Maybe we ought to just stand. I'm afraid that we're... I don't know how to say this here exactly. Where it don't get taken wrong. I try to guard my words the best I can. But I'm afraid that we've got so focused on looking something else to come that we miss what's already happening right in front of us. We get so caught up, huh? Looking for everything else. We had a lady in the church one time when I was pastoring there in Irving, and she wearied me. She wearied me so bad that I really got frustrated with her. She was seeking God for the Holy Ghost, and she'd come up there and she'd get in the altar and she'd pray, power of God fall on her, and she'd shake and fall back and floor, and roll back and forth. And her jaw was quivering. And then she'd always get them and say, pray for me that I get the Holy Ghost. I got so irritated with that I finally just told her, you're going to have to learn to accept. I asked her, I said, what are you looking for? A stick of dynamite to blow you clear into the next world? Well, I said, my Lord, I said, God's already given you what you're asking for, and you're too busy saying, well, it's got to be more than this. It's got to be more than this. And I understand the fact of not wanting to be satisfied, but you do your own soul danger, and you do your own soul harm when you don't accept that God has already given to you. When God's already healed you, stand up and shout about it. Come on, as Brother Russell McDonald says, shout it in the mouth of hell, and let him know what's it got? Hey, listen. We can stutter and argue about who gets told the most that they never got saved. But I can tell you one thing that happened in 1981. I got saved. Come on now. And in 1982, I got the Holy Ghost. And I've had it ever since. The devil may not like it. He may get aggravated. But for all these years, there's one thing he's not going to do. He's not going to take away what God has already given me. You sit there and say, I'm afraid to claim anything. And I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're just going to sit there and dry up and never get anything. Because when you get disappointed, looking. Come on now. We've glamorized it. And we've got to the point that that if it's not energetic and it's not glamorous, it's spectacular, and something that's just full of power, then it really must not be God. But I want to tell you, in the process, you can sit right there and miss right out on what God's trying to give you. I know it ain't all in a shout, but if you thank God for what He's already given you, you may jump up and shout just a little bit. But you won't be able to stay in your pew. I don't know why I'm even telling you this, but some of you is sitting and doubting yourself when it's time you spoke up and said, "Sirs, I believe God that it will be even as it was told me. God said it. That's good enough for me." Well, are you talking to me? Probably. Well, I just don't know if that's really God or not. Well, if you don't know, I can't tell you. I mean, you can go through all the details and give me your description. I feel funny in my stomach. I feel cold chills moving up down my spine. And I understand there is an emotionalism that you can get caught up in. And at times there's almost a fine line between that and the real. Come on now. One man told me here a while back, he said, this young lady that I've known for years was talking to him in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and God spoke to my heart and told me to tell her that she didn't need him. And you know, just being the kind of person I am, I just told her she didn't need him. And she didn't like it, and he didn't like it, but that's not the end of the story. She called me back the other day and apologized and said, "You was right. And I was wrong." But that man told me, he said, I was wondering, he ain't emotional. He don't have any more. He said when he got saved, God took his emotions. Come on, I tell him he need to pray through. I told her, I said, "Hey, you didn't lose your emotions. In fact, if anything, God got them. But he didn't keep them from you sometimes. You can't help it." But there's some people sitting right here in this building tonight that you've sat back and sat back and sat back waiting on somebody to pull you out of the pew, drag you down the aisle, give you "Thus saith the Lord," when God's already given you His word, and that should take precedence over the mouth of any prophet, or come on now, or anybody else. If God said, "That's the way it is, that's the way it is," listen, it's time we got back to an old-fashioned faith that'll cause us to stand up in spite of our adversaries and just believe God. You say it don't matter what anybody else thinks about it. I believe God. Used to be a bumper sticker that was popular. Said, "God said it, I believe it. That settles it." Then somebody else came up with another one. Said, "God said it, and that settles it." It don't really matter whether you believe it or not. It really don't. It really does not matter if you believe it. Huh? Because when God says it, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way God wants it to be. And I believe with all my heart that God's not done with this revival. I told Brother Smith today, I said, "I'm sorry, brother." He said, "Don't apologize." He said, "We've already started revival. We got another preacher here, and he's filling in." He said, "We'll just let him finish up." And I said, "Well, I can come sometime later, but not right now." I told the other boy that was there, I said, I hope. I said, "Well, maybe I might be able to get there by the 23rd of January. Maybe, possibly. But I said, I really don't know. God is not done here yet. And I've always longed for the time, Brother Mike Moore, when God could just get in the arrangements and just give us a revival that goes beyond the schedule." I told a pastor friend of mine last year, he said, "I like when you get some set up this year." I said, "My days of scheduling a year in advance are over. I'm just going to take them 2 or 3 at a time. I ain't got time to work on another one until I get done with this one." You say, "But you're going to be out of a lot of places." I may be somewhere down the road, but the Lord will provide. But right now, I believe. believe God? How many in here believes God? I mean, you really believe God? Well, I mean, you just tell me, come back here and talk to me a little bit. Pat me on the back. Rub my shoulder. Come on, I don't have time for that. But what I do have time to tell you is from this pulpit, I believe God. I know this really doesn't have any content to it. It's not a deep message that'll just mesmerize you. But it's just a simple little thought of faith. Brother Mike Moore's already told us that's him. And I kept waiting all the time. Well, if that's him, what are we waiting on? What else are we looking for? You hear me? Come on, John the Baptist got discouraged. But he didn't stay discouraged. He didn't die discouraged. He didn't die in the valley. He got uplifted because he found out that is him. I mean, I feel the Holy Ghost right here tonight in a way. I've been preaching now for over 16 years. And in 16 years, I still know, hallelujah, when I feel the Holy Ghost. And I feel Him right now. You know, I just really feel like somebody needs to make a move. Now, I mean, I'm not talking about, let's just all get up here and start us another march. Brother Travis just going to run a while. And what are you going to do? I mean, do you really believe Him or not? Or are you just going to accept, come on now, are you just going to accept defeat and sit on your pew and drum? So I thought I really felt like they'd do this. I thought possibly they may do that. I tell you, God's doing exactly what He wants to do. But the problem is not in Him. The problem is in us accepting God's Word and believing God's Word. And come on now, and doing God's Word. Listen, if you believe it, get up. I said, get up! Get up! Every person that the Lord ever prayed for, ever talked to, and He told him to get up, they never laid there for the next revival to come along. They got up right then and had a change of residence. And what we need is an uplift in our soul, the Spirit of God to feel it from top to bottom until we are overflowing and running out in the floor and it's all over the pews, and we can hardly contain ourselves by the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. Say it with me. I believe God. Say it again. I believe God. If you can't believe Him, you can't believe anybody else. Well, such and such told me, I don't care what they said. It really doesn't matter what they said at that point in time. What really matters, and what I do care about, is the fact of what God said. And God said, it's good enough for me. God said He's going to do it. Why don't you just believe it? I said, I believe God. Now, miracles are just waiting to be put in progress. Right here in this service tonight, waiting upon individuals to get up, make their move, and just believe God. I mean, I'm about to believe by every one of you on this pulpit, on each side. Brother Jeff Smith sitting here tonight. 2 days out of knee surgery. You believe God, don't you? Didn't you be home? Leg propped up? Forgetting about this. Well, what I'm waiting on, preacher, is I'm waiting on something real spectacular to happen. Man, what's more spectacular than somebody getting saved? Huh? What's more spectacular than somebody's heart being melted down and falling down and praying? Well, you know, I want something more spiritual. What was more spiritual than Brother Jason Bailey running around the front of the building last night and getting slapped down in the floor with the power of the Holy Ghost? Well, what I'm waiting on is for somebody to get healed. There's already been folks healed right here in this meeting. I got a long line of testimony to tell you about. I ain't got time to tell you, but you need to just believe God. I feel like, I know this is boring. It may be monotonous to you. It may be too repetitious, but I believe God. Is there anybody here tonight that's going to join with me and say, preacher, I believe it. In spite of the doubters, in spite of the skeptics, we are going to believe God. I believe Paul was telling him everything's going to be all right. Maybe we need to sing 100 miles an hour right now. And that would give you what you needed to tip you over the edge. Maybe you need somebody to come and grab you by the hand, pull you out of the pew, and bring you down this aisle to this altar. Or maybe we need to wrap your head in a victory flag so everybody around to know that you got the victory. Are you helping me here? Or maybe what you really just need to do is convince yourself that you don't need anything else. That everything that we need to make it is already right here in this service tonight. We don't need to search for another revival. I'm not putting any roses on me. We don't need another evangelist. The greatest evangelist is here. In the Spirit of the Lord, He's here. It's not me, and it's not about you, but it's all about Him. And if in this service, on the hills, come on, it's some tragic event. Come on now, it's been dark and gloomy. But I feel like God settled down beside me today while I was praying and said, it shall be even as I told you. I said it's going to happen. Don't worry about it. I want to tell you, I wish I had a better message that would really stir your soul. But I feel a burden on my heart to tell you, I believe God. But wait a minute. Let me tell you what I'm going through. What does that really have anything to do with God? Hang on. Did I tell you how many days I've been in this? What does that have to do with the Word of the Lord? Hang on. I haven't slept in days now. I'm weak. That just means that you ought to be easier to submit yourself. When your strength is gone, then you won't have as much to fight about. But hang on just a minute. You ain't heard my whole story. It's bad. It's the worst one that's ever come down the line. But I like what the Lord said. He says, there is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God, He is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation also, He's going to take that temptation and make a bridge out of it. But with that temptation, also make a way for your escape that you may be able to bear it. Come on now. Everybody's in there. We're all going.
going through it. But the good news, some of us doesn't cross the bridge. And we're marching on while you're trying to figure out. I tell you, throw your hands up. Put your faith to the test. And watch that pit become a Passover and a way for you to get by.
My wife's getting ready to come. We're going to try singing. Maybe. I don't know. We may not try anything. I may just bring her up here and let her sit down. Y'all feel anything over here on this side? What about right here in the middle? What about over there? Well, from the raising of hands, it's a little heavier on this side. So maybe I'll just move over here and preach. Y'all feel anything? Is the air conditioning too cold in here? Y'all freezing to death? Then go ahead, let's lift our hands tonight. I really feel like, I don't even know why I preach this way, and it ain't been much the way I preach it. These brothers have already preached to you. I'm just coming along, just trying to give you a little encouragement right here. On this Wednesday night of this revival, that I still believe God. I said I still believe God. It's going to be even as it was told me. Your pastor said it. Come on now. And I really feel like it's in my best interest and your best interest just to go ahead and get up and do what it is that God's beckoning you to do. My little boy asked me back a while ago, Tim. He said, Dad, what is butterflies in your stomach? He wanted to know who in the world eat butterflies. He didn't get out right there. And he said, well, I gave him a little explanation. He said, oh, that means either he got it or he's going to ask me more later. And some of you got butterflies tonight. You're feeling like doing something right now. And you're afraid of getting in my way. You're not going to get in my way. That's the moment you step out, I'm going to stop. I'm fixing to quit right now anyway. But some of you need to put your faith in action. Put it to the test and step up. You say, but my boat's still rocking. Amen. That's the best time to say, I believe God. It's right now when things are at their worst. That's the best time to move out and just make your statement of faith. I'm going to stay with it. God is going to bring me through. We had, I've dealt my ministry a little bit with those aftermath prophets. Never tell you nothing before it happens. But they knew it all after it was done. I knew that was going to happen. Oh, come on now. Increase my faith. Tell me beforehand. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be even as it was told me. I ain't going to wait after someone said, well, the Lord said. I'm going to tell you when I got here. We scheduled three nights. And I knew better than schedule three nights. I ain't never been up there. I usually just get started in three nights. It takes me that long to get in, I guess get in the swing of preaching a little bit. But I will tell you, amen, that God's going to do it. Your pastor has spoke it. And now I want us, with everything in us tonight, we're giving an altar call for the unbeliever. You know who the unbeliever is, don't you? It's the one that doesn't believe God. That chooses to believe their circumstances and their situations take precedence over the power of God. My symptoms say I'm going to die. And my Savior says, I'm going to live. Who you going to believe?
I heard the other day Paul Harvey tell, he said, 70% of all doctors now believe in miracles. And more than 60% of them recommend prayer to their patients. Huh? Come on now. Amen. They recommend prayer. They've actually seen miracles actually happen. And now you heard the testimony, didn't you? Huh? Come on now. Don't you all believe God now? Doctor told me when I was 25, and he diagnosed me with degenerative discs in my back and all that nonsense. He said, by the time you get in your 30s, you won't be able to walk. I'll be 35 the 23rd of this month, and I'm still walking. I just believe God. They're singing. They're playing. And you're standing. We're stepping out. And we're moving up. We're believing God. It's going to be, God's going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. Let's come tonight. Let's find a place to pray. Or if you feel like running, that's all right. If you feel like shouting, that's okay. You like dancing, do whatever. But just believe God. Let's come tonight, everybody.